everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We are your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
What's new?
Happy New Year.
2022.
Here we are.
Have you heard the Taylor Swift
Not me.
TikTok mashup of the 2021/2022?
I have not.
I'd sing it, but it would not be good.
I'd love for you to. I don't even need to listen to Taylor.
She says both 21 and 22 in two different songs. So somebody way more creative than me mashed them up, and it sounds beautiful.
Okay. That's exciting.
It is kind of exciting.
Can you sing it to us?
Please.
Well, have you listened to the 10-minute version of All Too Well?
Yes, I have.
No?
Are you refusing?
That's a long song, and I haven't gotten around to it.
You know what? I watched it on SNL, and it was beautiful.
I thought so, too. I know it's a long song, but somehow it doesn't feel that long.
It doesn't feel long.
I have been listening to Dr. Death on my way to work, and
love that one.
Yes.
It's like you need to brighten it up with some Taylor, except this song's depressing.
Okay, yeah. Good one. Well, did you listen to the original All Too Well? Do you know the song? So I thought you were a T-Swift fan. What's happening?
I'm a T-Swifty.
Okay, all right.
I love Taylor. It's
an older album. I get it. Yeah,
I'm a fan from afar.
Okay,
but once I do get a hold of her album, like I have 19.
What's a fan from afar mean?
It is what it is, Lindsay.
She's a voyeur fan.
The last album I bought was 1989 because
it's probably my favorite album,
obviously. And I'm afraid that if I listen to anything else new, I won't be as excited about it.
Yeah, I get that. Somehow she's very good. I don't know. I feel like I've loved everything that she's done. I agree.
I did see her live in concert for her 1989 tour.
Me too. I was there with Ryan.
Oh my gosh. Were you in Kansas City?
I was.
I was too. We didn't even know each other yet.
I was at the very top row.
I was like very high up too.
Yeah. I thought I was going to tumble down.
I lived in Wichita at the time and my friend texted me literally 2 days before and said, I have an extra ticket to Taylor Swift if you want to come to Kansas City. And I was
Wasn't
like,
it the most fun concert?
Yeah.
She's an excellent performer.
It was amazing. It was probably the best concert I've been to.
I totally agree. I can't wait for her to come back.
Yes.
And we'll
I know
have
you
to
guys
go.
Didn't know each other, but I feel really left out.
We didn't even know
we
each other.
We weren't next to each other.
This was like, it was 2015, September 2015.
Ryan was little. She was little. She did not appreciate the T-Swift concert.
It was the week of my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I remember it.
How about that? Well, there's this part in her song that said, it's supposed to be fun turning 21. And somebody said, 2021. They cut it, spliced it.
2021 then, was not fun.
Right, and then they put it with her older son. It's like, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. And they made it say 2022. So,
and here
we
are.
You know, it sounds way better than what I just said, but.
Well, what are we going to talk about tonight, guys?
Orange House.
Huh?
Orange House.
Son of a horage.
Okay. We brought it back to that.
Winston and I had spooky vibes with our ghostly tone.
Ghostly tone. In case you guys missed that, we're talking about a haunted investigation.
It was at a place called the Horridge House.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
We went back up to Iowa. It seems to be our home away from home.
We love Iowa. Who knew Iowa was so spooky?
It's also a little stinky during the fall time.
Lots of cow poop.
I think that's what happens when you drive through
the farmlands.
I mean, it happens.
Welcome to the Midwest.
Missouri, so I mean, it's not like it's that different, but it felt extra stinky at this time.
It might be totally ignorant of me, but I didn't realize that they fertilized at the end of the season.
I see what happened. Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, you know, joke's on us. Mm-hmm. We learned the hard way that fertilizing season
is stinky. Who knew?
Probably all the farmers.
Yep. Who knew that poop stinks?
Well, we're slow to the game.
So this was kind of a long drive for us.
Five and a half. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's probably our longest this far.
Tell me about the horror itch.
Oh my God.
Thank you for your pity laugh. I don't want it.
Okay, I take it back.
Horridge House is in Vinton, Iowa. The home was built in 1859.
Wow. So just like a few years ago.
Anyway, 1859.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. By a Dr. Hewitt Klingon.
Klingon.
What?
What? I don't want to try that again.
Just one more time.
Klingon?
Klingon?
Klingon.
Klingon. Klingon. Klingon.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, you almost have to smile while you're saying it. Like,
I want to guess what kind of doctor he is.
Well, a doctor. Okay. Doctor.
Yep. You don't know.
No, please guess.
He's a radiologist.
Okay.
He's a dentist.
Okay.
We will never know because I have no idea.
You're so full of it. Don't tell us to guess if you don't know.
She didn't know. I just wanted to.
It was fun for me. Mm. Okay. An exact duplicate of the house was built across the street by a doctor, William S. Boyd. You can guess this one.
Oh.
What kind of doctor was he?
Family practice.
Okay.
Mm. OBGYN.
Oh. Because it says boy. Right? Boyd.
No, I just wanted to guess.
That was a good guess.
Okay. I don't know what he was either.
Oh my gosh. Why do you guess? I hate this game. In my head.
That's what they are. And they were rivals. His lead was B, and he was like...
Family practice versus radiology. I feel like they work hand in hand.
Rivals, okay. I said dentist. Dentist and an OBGYN.
They hated each other.
So they built the same house. They are opposing doctors.
Radiologist versus family practice.
Dentist versus an OBGYN.
This sounds intense. All right, proceed.
Anyway, so those are the houses. And then in 1867, he sold it to George and Elizabeth Horridge.
George! Guys, I forgot that we found a George here.
His nickname is George.
That's what we lovingly called him. I heard that audio. I was like, we are so clever.
Lindsay thought I was just saying like George really weird, but it's George.
Well, George Horridge is a mouthful. So
my mouth can't say that. So yeah. I'm just going to call him George.
Can
you
try?
No. You want me to say his first and last name?
Yeah, together.
Ship it.
George.
That was good.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to slow down and focus. I sound like an idiot. Yeah.
No, it was great.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
They bought it in 1869. And let's jump around to George. We want to talk about George Horridge.
I love George. Yeah.
He was born May 26th in 1833.
Okay. He's young.
Yeah. Just a drop in the bucket.
In Washington County, Pennsylvania, he moved to Vinton, Iowa in 1858. He was a local tinsmith and a community leader.
I'm a little disappointed he's not a doctor. But
he works with tin.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I remember this now. Tin. Okay. He's like a tin man.
Yeah. He is. That joke wouldn't have gone over very well because I think The Wizard of Oz is after 1850.
Yes,
it is.
Well, you're right.
But yeah.
He was the OG tin man.
He sure was.
Nailed it.
Okay. Records show that he was subject to military duty in the months of June and July in 1863 at the age of 30, and he was a first sergeant during his time in the Civil War. This guy fought in the Civil War.
Wow, that's incredible. Good job, George. Proud of you, bud.
George married...
Depending on what side he was on.
True that. Hmm. He's from the North.
For the Union Army.
Perfect.
Proud of you, George.
Stand by what I said.
Sergeant George. George married Elizabeth Taylor Rock.
Okay.
On October 29th of 1863, who was previously married to George's business partner, Augustus Herman Rock. But he died in 1861 at the age of 38.
Scandal.
Unknown cause of death. So before George's marriage to Elizabeth, he lived with Augustus Herman, or A.H., and Elizabeth in their home in Vinton. And so it was
scandal.
You know, they were already living together.
Pretty much of a scandal.
So it was just easy.
It was a forbidden love affair. Seems natural.
Nope. Okay. I went in a different way. I went a different direction. He died. It was like, you know what? We're already living together.
Yeah, why not? And I'm like, forbidden love affair.
He killed him.
Elizabeth was 11 years older than George.
Oh.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
After George and Elizabeth married, they moved into the Horridge house.
Okay.
Elizabeth Rock Horridge died in Lake Charles, Louisiana. So, back to the house.
Okay.
Where George and Elizabeth moved in 1869.
Horridge house.
It's an excellent example of Carpenter Gothic style architecture.
I agree.
Mm.
It's made of brick, believed to be of the local brickyards of the era. So locally sourced, homegrown.
Love it.
The original brass lion head door knocker is still attached to the front door. And it was dark out, so we didn't get to see it.
We didn't. I really wanted to, though.
No, but that was like one of the only things that was original to the home when they were giving us a tour. So that's kind of cool.
Yes. There is also a Romanesque sculptural relief, which is basically a sculpture. And it was brought back from Italy by George's second wife, Carrie, which we'll get to her.
Oh, okay.
And that's above the fireplace. And also by George's second wife, they brought home a beautiful French pier mirror.
Yes, they did.
It was beautiful.
It's floor to ceiling, and huge. They think that maybe they had to cut off the top of it to get it to fit in the room.
Yeah. It's huge, but she's so thick. Beautiful. Yeah. She was a thick mirror.
She's just stunning.
So Elizabeth Taylor Rock Horridge died in 1900, but George married Carrie Smith in Chicago 2 years later in 1902.
Okay.
George was 30 years older than Carrie.
Ooh, George.
So that 11 years is looking just fine now.
I'd say.
Carrie's mother, Catherine Smith, who was just 4 years older than George, lived with them in their home in Vinton during the end of her life. Carrie built on an upstairs apartment for her mother and also a lower level living area. Mm-hmm. Say that three times fast.
No,
I cannot. We all know that. I won't even try.
It was attached to the original kitchen.
Okay.
When her mother could no longer care for herself. And unfortunately, Carrie's mother died in the home on December 20th, just before Christmas of 1926. Later in 1948, Carrie fell down the stairs of her home, causing her to break her hip. And she was admitted to Virginia Gay Hospital, where she stayed until her death on January 20th of 1949. It's also noted on her death certificate, just a fun fact, that the cause of death was chronic nephritis.
Oh. What is that?
Thank you. It's inflammation of the kidneys.
Okay. I didn't know. I thought it had something to do with kidneys because of nephrology.
You were correct.
Look at you go.
Look at me. I learned things.
Mm-hmm. Basically a doctor.
Yes.
She's a radiologist, family practice doctor.
OBGYN.
Strong competition in Vinton for that.
I am very busy.
Specialty in teeth.
It's amazing. I have a podcast with how busy I am.
With an emphasis in teeth.
All right. In 1930, George Horridge died of old age in the house that he had made his home. So in the house there are, well, why don't we just go through the whole house?
Okay.
We can tell them all about it.
I was thinking while you were telling me that story, that when they gave us the tour that Carrie's mother, right?
Yes. Catherine.
Okay. Thank you. I thought she had a broken hip too, and that they tried to keep her in the house as long as they could. And so that's why they kept her close to the bathroom there.
I don't remember.
You don't remember. Okay.
I remember. It's was it interesting her
when you said that she fell down the stairs, broke her hip too.
Was it her funeral that was in the home or was it?
I think it was the mother.
Yeah. So that was one of the things that they said could contribute to the haunted history was that they had funerals in the home back in those days. And they showed us exactly where the body would be in the viewing and all of that. So we kind of came in the back door. It's what they have open. So that's also why we didn't see the front door. So they had just shut down one of another location the Historical Society had. And so there was a lot of stuff in this home that they were trying to relocate.
So if you can imagine, like, the door we came through, there was a room there. There was an open pantry. And this room extended kind of outside the perimeter of the other rooms.
Kind of sounded like a sunroom to me.
Yeah, but I believe that that's where Catherine was staying.
Yes.
The with mother.
With some creepy mannequins in there.
Yes, because after she was ill.
It had French doors into the bathroom.
Exactly. See?
Which I had never seen before.
So that room was mainly different. Full of stuff, so we didn't really do much there because that's kind of where they were just putting everything.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it was very cold.
It was very cold. Yeah, this place didn't have heating.
No.
Except for our safe space.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, it is what it is. But it's Iowa, and it was chilly, so we didn't spend a lot of time in there, but we did find some interesting trinkets in the pantry.
We did.
I don't remember exactly what they were, but they were like 100 years old cans of food.
Yeah, and old food storage and things like that, which, I mean, it's just kind of cool to see how advertisements have changed and marketing and all of that in the 100 years.
Right. Packaging, what things.
Yes.
It's amazing how long things lasted.
Yeah.
It felt like a museum.
Yes.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
But like things you could actually touch.
Right.
You'd be like, is this okay?
Anyhow. So when you leave that room, you enter the kitchen / dining area as well. And there's a bathroom there. And then off to the left, I said sunroom earlier, but really I felt like off to the left was a sunroom because it was surrounded by windows.
Yeah. That's the one that kind of butts up to the, yes. the train tracks.
Yes. Right up against the train tracks. That's where we slept. Or try to.
Yeah.
Get there.
Yeah. That's where they had the table set up. So you sign in and out. You write your experiences
there. There was it's lots kind of like a safe old, space. Old albums or almanacs. Like, I mean, just tons of stuff pertaining to the history of the town.
There is a lot of history jammed there into the house.
Lots of journals.
Family Bibles.
Family Bibles. Yes. I mean, so many written things that was really cool to look at.
It was. Very cool.
And then you go back to like the kitchen dining area and there's the parlor off to the right. So this is where that huge fireplace that has the old sculpture mm-hmm. that's there connected to that is a second room, which is where the mirror is.
Yes.
Thick mirror.
Yep.
And then you're at the front door and off to the other side of the door is the war room.
The war room. Yeah. Because it's full of war memorabilia.
Uh-huh.
And then, there is a lot in
there's
there.
A lot from Civil War. They had some stuff from George Washington, the I
Revolutionary
believe.
War, I mm-hmm. believe we put in, or we talked about. I mean, it's got a lot of stuff.
Lots
in there.
Of trinkets and memorabilia.
Leave the word to me, Lindsay.
Sorry, you say it.
I'm totally kidding. I already said it.
I think you're okay. throwing an L in there.
Somewhere. I don't know what I'm doing.
Or just a real strong accent. Memorabilia.
Yeah, I something weird. Thank you.
So it's stairs.
Yes. Let's go to the and stairs. And in the middle of there is a staircase
yes.
to go upstairs.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful grand staircase.
Yes. And so upstairs, there are two bedrooms. One is kind of like a kid's room, I'm going to call it, because there was a ton of dolls in there.
Right.
I don't know what else to call it. And then the other yeah. was the master bedroom. Mm-hmm. Also, on the other side of the stairs, there's...
I think that's how used to be an apartment. This place? It's like it's got an a apartment. Yeah, it's got a separate apartment. Door, separate entrance. It was an apartment. And we only spent a brief amount of time there because
we didn't go there by ourselves. I don't
no,
think.
We just didn't. On the tour. It was cold. It was really cold over there.
What else was wrong with it?
Bats.
There were bats in there.
Allegedly.
And there may not have been. Honestly, even if you just mention that there might be, like, it's that's absolutely not happening for me. You guys can go. I will stay in the car.
So the rest of the house is all kind of like how a historical society keeps it. It's kind of like a museum. It's got furniture. It's got all of these things. Yeah. It's well kept. This apartment place was not like that. No. There wasn't furniture there. It's kind of like the servants' quarters is what they said. So there was a couple rooms there. There was like a bathroom that's not functional. There was like a kitchen area and then like a little bedroom place. But there's not like furniture in there. Yeah. It was just kind of lots of stuff. I think they kept their storage there, like Christmas trees and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for
sure. But they mentioned there might be bats up there.
And it was game over for me.
And it was game over for Sarah.
I'm not getting rabies.
There's also a basement that we didn't talk about, which, again, Sarah, why didn't we go to the basement?
Because there was a bat.
There was a bat. So
allegedly.
There was a book that
I went down there.
She did. Okay. Paid for a whole house and we could only use.
You could go. I told you you could go.
There was a book there where people write their experiences. Exactly. Like most places we go to have this. And so, of course, I looked through it and saw that people had reported there was a bat in the basement. Several people reported it. And so.
Of course, she tells her.
I mentioned it.
She also said that this bat chased them down a hallway. All right. And I was like, this bat clearly has rabies.
They were like,
bats do not chase people.
We had to run up the stairs to escape the bat. And I'm like, yes. I didn't tell you that part. I did tell you the part about the bat. So I went down by myself to investigate the basement first because Sarah was like, no.
No.
And it was kind of creepy. And so then you guys both came downstairs after I told her there was no bat that I could see.
You know, it was creepy in a good way. It was like, let's start there, shall we? Okay. Let's explain so our experiences.
Cement walls. I mean, kind of like an unfinished basement that we see. But there was, you come down the stairs and there's this huge open space to the left of you. And then underneath the staircase, there's like this tunnel.
Oh my. It was, it was narrow. Straight out of like a horror movie. Yes. Like it really was in the best way possible.
I
like,
didn't you go could down film it until you guys came down there. Because it's completely dark. Yeah. So I had my flashlight and I called you guys to come down so there was no bats that I could see. And they came down and I was like, I'm not going in that tunnel. So Boynton did.
I sure did.
You did. So you're brave. Very brave.
I wanted to investigate the basement, and we spent about 2 minutes down there.
First off, you call her brave. I'm the one who went to investigate for bats for you.
You're so brave.
I had to keep Sarah company. She was scared.
No, I was not scared on the first floor.
You were scared. I had to keep you company.
Does that make you feel better?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
She was scared of the bat, too. I'm the only one who was like, sure, I'll go see if there's a bat down there.
There is a rabid bat.
Whenever we go to Belvoir, I like to point him out. And then whenever Sarah leaves, I go up to him and shine my flashlight and just stare at him. They're cute.
They are not cute.
They are.
I'm not, I'm not afraid of them like she is, but they are not cute.
They are. You're just misunderstanding them.
They are rabid creatures.
They're misunderstood.
Who carry disease.
They have families.
You know what? Maybe it's a ghost bat down there. That's why so many people see it.
We did not see it, but there was also a room further past the basement area.
Maybe it was a vampire who was in bat form. Dracula. And he's like, get out. I need to hang upside down in this creepy tunnel.
I mean, I don't blame him. Yeah. He's like, you're imposing on my space. Mm-hmm. I get it. So
there was another room near the back of the basement that we didn't go into. Maybe that's where the bat was. We called it
the torture room, I believe. Yes. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's lovely, but it does look like it could be used for torture events. I don't know. It's hidden off back there. I mean, like I said, this could be the perfect setting for a scary movie.
So because of that, we did not stay long in the basement. I mean, the fact that we got Sarah down there at all is impressive.
I just want to say for the billionth time, you guys could have stayed. I would have been up there gladly.
Okay, so let's get to kind of the evidence. We did go everywhere except for really the basement.
And the apartment.
And the apartment, yeah.
The bat areas. The bat areas.
Let's start on the main floor.
Okay.
So we went live a couple times. We started with Instagram Live and we spent a lot of time in the parlor.
Yes.
And I had the audio from that section.
So we had recorders in the parlor and also in the military room, which is just kind of down the hall around the corner.
Yep.
And so by default, I also had during the live because we were loud enough that I could hear us.
And just to remind you guys, there was a creepy faceless Santa mannequin.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I do. There were so many mannequins in this house.
Yeah. All right. So before we actually go live, we had set up a couple of flashlights around the room and we did get the flashlight to go on. And I'm pointing this out because it didn't happen a ton of times that night. So that was one of the few times that it did. And I made a statement that the flashlight is placed where I felt a tingle on my head when I had opened my door. And then we asked it to turn off, and it went off on command. Another flashlight turns on a minute later after we ask it to. I felt another tingle on my head, and Lindsay states, I feel weird sitting on furniture. I thought that is a weird thing to say, because you sat on the floor.
I did sit on the floor. Listen, the Historical Society sometimes can be real weird about where you can and can't sit, what you can and can't touch.
That's true.
No, these people were cool.
They were cool. They had chairs set up, I think, for us. But
they were cool here, but I just had that ingrained in my head. Don't sit in the furniture.
You're like, I feel weird sitting on furniture.
Why are you sitting on my furniture? This is a historical piece of chair.
Is it really?
Yes.
What era is it from?
Into the society.
It's from the millennial era.
Oh, okay. Not that far old.
Sounds
it's actually
important.
Not. It's probably like 5 years old.
What a historical piece of society.
It's from the 21st century.
Oh my god, a classic.
It's from pre-COVID times.
I bought it from the museum.
My caveman ancestors. My Triceratops ancestors gave me that chair.
It's got a little cup holder on the side.
They
are functional.
Revolutionary. Okay.
We feel in the future they may need cup holder for thy wine. Okay, we used some dowsing rods.
Yes, I do remember that part.
And we got some answers, like appropriate answers. We were asking, George, are you here? And we got a yes.
That was me talking to George, yes.
Uh-huh. And at one point, right after we asked that question, Boydston and I both say on the audio that we hear a click across the house, so far away. I don't know if you heard it on your end over there. We'll have to match that up. And we said, are you still here? We got a yes. Are you a man? We got a yes. And are you in pain? We got a yes.
No, George.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said on the recording. Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're so sympathetic.
The flashlight turned on again, and we hashtagged feet gloves forever.
I forgot about feet gloves.
How Could you forget?
Did you take a picture of Feet Gloves?
I took several. She did, yes. Okay,
well, if you didn't get to see it, we will post it. Sarah, explain Feet Gloves.
I love wearing sandals.
Yes, same.
The problem is it was November in Iowa, and it was cold, and I forgot socks. And in Vinton, at, you know, midnight or whatever time we were trying to find socks, it's a little bit difficult. So we had to go to Casey's, I think, is where we went to.
It was not a Casey's. It was an unknown named gas station.
Okay. We went to gas station and I tried to look for socks there. Unfortunately, they didn't have any. So I had to find some gloves. I asked them if they thought I should buy some. They both said no. I bought them anyways because I said.
You guys did not come prepared. I was the only one who wore socks and shoes, and you guys show up in sandals, and it's November in Iowa.
Yes, I know.
I don't like things on my feet.
I wore sandals tonight.
I don't either. I prefer flip-flops all the time, but in the winter, I don't have a choice sometimes.
Listen, unless it's snowing, I don't wear tennis shoes and I don't wear a coat.
So anyways, I bought them. And turns out that gloves don't fit great on your feet. Your hands are different sizes. So they awkwardly hung off half of my feet and stuck out really long on my toes. So they were beautiful.
It was kind
of served a purpose, though. So yeah, hashtag feet gloves.
Feet gloves. It was the most disturbing thing. And then... when we finally get home later in the morning, I'm unpacking my little overnight bag and I find these disgusting feet gloves in my stuff.
So we'll get to whenever we packed up, but like we were packing up kind of, you know.
In a rush.
And Sarah comes up to me. She's like, should I put these in Lindsay's bag? I was like, absolutely you should.
I did not know it was a purposeful thing. Yes. I thought you just threw them in.
No, it was like sisterhood of the traveling.
We were waiting all day for you to tell us that you found him.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, I actually wanted you to put them on your feet and take a picture.
No, they were disgusting. I threw them away.
That's hurtful.
God damn it. Sisterhood of the traveling gloves. Feet gloves. The spirit box at one point said nurse. And then it said shoe, and we all laughed and said, ha, 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 socks, like feet socks. And we thought that was funny. It said the name Rebecca, and we heard clicks several times, like in real time, but I couldn't hear them on the audio.
Okay.
And we asked its favorite color, and it said white.
Okay.
That's what I got from downstairs in the parlor room.
Lindsay put the recorder on the shelf in the military room.
Yes.
And left and shut the door, and then the door opened back up. And
yes, so sorry.
Sarah and Lindsay worked very hard to debunk the door opening by itself, but they debunked it.
Yes,
strong
we did.
Work. Yeah. I just want to point that out because we do actively attempt to explain things.
And you know, it was pretty spooky. It just
because when it opened, it made a banging noise, so we wanted to make sure.
For sure.
There was a moment where Sarah was explaining equipment. We were on the live, and she was giving a tour and explaining equipment. And as soon as she stopped talking, a very faint man's voice came across.
No.
But it's like super faint. I won't be able to do anything with it. Just know that a man's voice was talking to you.
Oh, my God. Was it George?
Maybe.
I want to think
so. We talked to him several times, we think, overnight.
The point where you guys ruined me is when Lindsay brings up a crawfish boil.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And then you guys proceed to tell me that they scream as they're being boiled.
Yes.
That is funny because I thought.
Fun fact.
I thought that was me saying it on the recording. That's why I didn't bring it up. I couldn't tell it was your voice saying it.
It was me. It crushed. Going,
oh, no.
It crushed my heart.
Fun fact. Did you see now that like it's illegal to boil lobsters alive in some states because of this?
Blessings. So then I bring up how I can't pick out my own lobster. Right? Absolutely.
I thought of you when I saw that on the news story.
I can't either. I've never been able to do that.
Anyway, so that's how you guys broke me.
Sorry. Crawfish is really good. So I had the parlor recorder while we were doing our live.
By parlor, do you mean like the fireplace parlor?
Yeah, it's like right by the fireplace was.
Okay.
I believe that's where we left it, right?
Yes.
Yes, right by the fireplace. Okay. So... we're upstairs. I can kind of hear us very faintly every now and then, but it's not very loud. I heard a meow or a yell. Which we
another weren't, ghost cat.
We weren't yelling and we definitely weren't meowing.
Okay.
I hear a bit of a whisper, but I cannot make out what it is. I don't know if you'll be able to isolate that. And then I hear like some shuffling and then another yell. Which again, we were not yelling. And then I hear like a snapping noise. we're not that close that you would be. No. You can't even hear us talking at that point.
No.
But otherwise, that's really all I got while we were upstairs.
Okay. So then we went upstairs. Mm-hmm. We went upstairs.
Upstairs.
To the bedrooms. We did not go to the apartment.
Yeah.
But in between the bedrooms and the hallway, we kind of hung out in the hallway a lot because there was a report of someone getting pushed at the top of the stairs.
It was Josh Hurd, owner of one of my favorite places, Malvern Manor.
We love that place and we love
him.
He
got to preview Horridge House before, because Horridge House is fairly recent, fairly new to the paranormal market.
Like this year, 2021. Well, last year. But 2021, they just opened up investigations.
Yeah. So I think it was also Lallman Paranormal, and we've been in contact with them a couple times through social media. So big shout out to them because they were the ones who kind of got us connected to this property. Yeah. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I think they also had an experience at the top of the stairs as well.
Yes. Yeah. So we did hang out at the top of the stairs for a while. For how recently they've opened up investigations, there was quite a few occurrences up there.
Yeah. To be honest, we were on a live for TikTok, I believe. So we were talking and laughing quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I didn't get...
Were we?
Yes, we were.
We also did some Phasma Box on the live, though.
We did. It's just when we do that, it's hard to get anything...
Like any EVPs.
On a recording. Yeah. But right in the beginning, I made a note that there is a weird noise that I could hear. And I listened to it several times. And I thought, is that Lindsay blowing her nose? And then I played it and Lindsay was offended.
It is a demon.
It sounds like a demon. And first off, I do not sound like that when I blow my nose. I'm offended you thought it was me.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what it was. I just, you know, your brain tries to like normalize anything, but
hold
demon
on.
Demon noise.
So here's the sound.
All right, so upstairs.
Tell me. Does that sound like me sneezing? Does that sound like anybody sneezing?
I was just grateful nobody blamed my stomach this time.
Oh, we'll get
Nobody's blaming the stomach. Okay. But it was not a stomach noise, clearly. And we are having a full conversation in the background. Like,
and I feel like you guys would make fun of me if I ever sneezed like that.
Yes, I would.
You would not let me get away with that and just ignore it.
What the hell that noise was. So, yeah, it is different, and it is exactly where those people are having the experiences mm-hmm. with being pushed
and
or touched.
In the recording, none of us call it out, none of us even acknowledge it, which
we would have.
You hear that and we would have acknowledged that if it was something weird.
It is
one of us did
right up like on the speaker of the recorder. So anyhow, there was a point to it was just right in the beginning again when we walked into the master room.
Yeah.
And I said the K2 went off a bunch of times. I don't know if you guys remember that. We thought maybe it was the phone. I stepped back and it was still going off
that
a couple of times. And I think that's the only time the K2 went off. So just kind of interesting.
It is interesting because that K2, I don't know what it is about it, but it's
not like
very
us.
Rarely ever goes off.
Exactly.
So whenever it does, I like to think. And, you know, I've tested it on actual electricity and it works.
Yeah.
It's fully functioning. It just does not go off.
She's
for paranormal reasons.
It will go off maybe once every few investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll go places and then we'll go off the entire night.
Yeah. So I made note of that we tested it. I stepped back because I was on the live. So I know my phone was not on airplane mode.
Right.
I stepped back, but it was still going off.
Right. And it was sitting on the middle of the bed, I want to say, the master bedroom?
It was not near me at all. I was kind of standing back by the window. So I can't remember if it was on the bed or on the floor, but it was far away. So there you go. That's about all I got from there. We did spend quite a bit of time up there, but
here's what I do remember is I feel like I was talking or listening to George.
Yeah. I was just going to say.
I was going to say, what happened on the Phasma box?
Both. Anybody who was on the Phasma box thought that it was a male coming through.
An older male.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole time. That was the only voice coming through. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was George.
I had the last recording over at Horridge House. And this is when we left the building. So we are not in the building at all. No one is there. This was a private investigation, in case you guys
remember. I guess we forgot to mention that.
Yeah, it's just us. Private. So it's just us. So there's nobody in the house. And we left a recorder going in the hallway upstairs between the two bedrooms.
Where we sat.
Yeah. Kind of at the top of the staircase.
And got that creepy sneeze noise.
Yes.
Where Lindsay sneezed.
I am so offended. Listen, I know that I make weird burps. My sneezes are legit. And I would have said, like, bless me or excuse me or something.
It's just funny that I wrote, maybe Lindsay blew her nose? Like, of all things.
Maybe it's Lindsay?
I don't know. It sounded legit. Rude. Okay. Rude. I didn't mean to be rude.
Up there, like I said, nobody's in the house. We hear a popping noise. It sounds like something got thrown at one point. At one point, I feel like I hear, I don't know if it's a growl, a yell, a dog barking in the distance. I don't really know what it is, but it was pretty loud. I hear a couple thumps and bangs.
So I had the night vision from overnight while we were trying to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was across the hall, essentially. The parlor is connected to the dining room kitchen area, which is connected to a sunroom.
It's like we're all, like we said, the Historical Society stuff is, all the books, all the albums.
Yeah.
All these older houses, they're beautiful, but they're all, like, you know, broken up into many, many rooms. So
I did not get anything on the night vision.
Interesting. Okay. So what happened when we tried to come back and go to sleep?
So, and I will say this. When they gave us the tour, they said there are no trains running.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will say that they hear a train coming through the night. But the only train that comes in is at like 7 a.m. and like 8 p.m. at night. There's nothing going on in the middle of the night. We're like, cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear a ghost train, because ghost train sounds awesome.
It does sound spooky.
We went to bed probably 2 a.m.-ish.
Yeah. It was also, I think, daylight savings.
Yes.
So it would have been like 3, but it, you know, fell back. Yeah. Whatever.
We were doing a ghost hunt on daylight savings, so we had an extra hour.
Yeah.
We set up our air mattress. Sarah and I lay down. Boydston is on like one of the recliners.
Yeah. I was in a rocking chair.
Yes. She's in a rocking chair. You guys have your headphones in. I have my white noise going. We're trying to sleep. And 3:52 a.m. We are there.
Captain's log.
None of us, all three of us are awake, but we don't know that the others are all awake.
We're trying so hard to sleep.
And we can't.
But we're so tired.
But I didn't know that they were awake, and I'm just laying there awake like, why can I not sleep? You guys had taken sleep meds even.
I took 150 milligrams of trazodone.
And which, could not sleep.
That's a nice dose. I mean, it's not the highest dose, but it's a nice dose. And that, on every single other night of my life, has just put me to sleep within 30 minutes.
Yes. And we've been trying to go to sleep for 2 hours at this point because it's almost 4 a.m.
Okay, I did not take trazodone, but I took melatonin.
You took melatonin. I didn't take anything.
It's good enough for you. It's good enough for me. And I, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So 3:52 a.m., all of a sudden the house is shaking. There is a huge train going by with lights.
I know.
Going,
I see this light passing.
And keep in mind, Winston and I have headphones in. So we're both like looking around at the lights. We're like, are we seeing
earthquake?
Is this an earthquake?
And they told us that people think they hear a ghost train and they think that they feel the house shaking. Like, this was in reports that we read from other people investigating. And all three of us sit up. And are looking at each other like, did you hear that? Was that a ghost train?
There's no way that was a ghost train.
And we're all like, I heard that. She said there's no trains going until 8 a.m.
That was the most vivid train I have ever. I mean, the tracks are no joke, probably 20 feet from the house.
They're right there.
Like,
right,
you can't park on that side of the house because your car will get hit by the train. Yes.
The house shook. So then, that's at 3:52 a.m. So we lay back down. We're like, I heard that. That was weird. Like,
weird. Okay, we'll go. Surely there's no more trains.
Four ghost trains. 4:07 a.m. Y'all, not even 20 minutes later. There's another freaking train.
So Lindsay jumps up and runs outside. She's like, God damn it. That's a real train.
I had to debunk it. I am in shorts. I am in a t-shirt. And I ran outside without shoes. I just ran outside at 4 a.m. And guys, it was a real train. There was actually a train. I saw it.
We saw it through the windows. We were like, maybe it's a ghost train. I don't know.
Maybe.
But Lindsay went outside. She physically. It was, unless it was a train. Is a fully manifested ghost train, Harry Potter style. I don't know.
No, it was a full train. And so then.
Maybe we were at 9 3/4. We didn't know it.
Maybe. I love that you're doing a Harry Potter reference. Thank you. All right. So I come back inside. And at that point, Boydson's like, is anybody asleep? I'm like, no.
You mean after two trains passed us by, we thought maybe there were ghost trains and we've also taken 8 billion nightmares. No, we're not asleep.
So we had this place till like 8 or 9 a.m. So at that point, Boyce was like, should we just pack up and go? Like, all three of us are wide awake. We're not going to sleep. So we're like,
we had like a 5.5 hour drive
home. Yes. So we're like, let's just like go. So we start packing things up. As we were packing things up, 4:23 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
Another train comes by.
And it was a real train.
And it was a real train. We were all packing up the car. So you guys saw that train. So this was three trains in the course of 30 minutes between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, what is going on in this tiny town that they have so many trains coming through at 4 in the morning?
Listen, I'm willing to bet it's ghost trains.
And so
Hogwarts Express.
I just thought it was funny that they were like, people think they hear a train. It's a ghost train. There's no trains till 7 a.m. Bullshit. There was three trains. I documented the times. I saw them.
They were phantom trains.
It was so loud.
It was pretty funny, though, because we were like, oh, maybe that was just, no, we didn't hear that. And we're like, wait a minute.
That was a real train. I saw it with my own eyes.
It looks like a real train. I can see it out there. Oh, that's weird. We'll just go third train. Okay. All right. Damn
it. It's time to go.
It's time to go.
You know what? We're out of here.
So we left at 4:30 in the morning after not sleeping and drove back 5 hours.
We did. Which, have we ever done that?
No.
No.
Like, we just knew, like, all three of us could not sleep. That's never really happened.
At that point, there was no point to try to.
After the third train, I'm like, dude, I'm wide awake by this point. And so we all packed up and we left at 4:30 in the morning.
It was. What do you think happened to us?
It was weird.
Well, it's weird that never happened. All three of us. Yeah. One of us, at least one of us, can always sleep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Katie messaged us and she said that she read our message.
The owner of the house.
Katie's the owner of the house, yes. Mm-hmm. And she read our message and said that that has happened to multiple people.
Where they can't sleep.
Where they cannot sleep.
I don't know what happened. I mean, true, the trains kind of really jolted us awake.
But we had been trying to sleep for at least two hours.
And just tossing and turning. And we were in a heated section. It wasn't like it was like a cold space.
But no, so this has happened to me before at McIntyre. It's happened to Sarah before at Malvern. And then it happened to all three of us. And so McIntyre and Malvern are two of our favorite places. Like, they're legit haunted.
Can I just say that the only person who's not had trouble sleeping is me, and I am the night shifter of the group, so I should be the one who has trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
I can normally sleep in these places. It doesn't bother me.
Well, it's funny because, like, I don't feel bothered typically. Now, Malvern was different. Like, I felt bothered there. This one, I did not feel bothered at all. I was just like, ugh, I was just irritated. I could not sleep.
Yeah.
I try to wake up. Ugh, it's really frustrating.
If it was just one of us or maybe even just two of us, I would have been like, sure, it's just one of those nights where you're not comfortable, you can't sleep. But it was all three of us.
Yeah.
And I know it's an unpopular opinion with one of us in the room, but I feel like
it's Lindsay.
It's potentially paranormal.
I think so, too. And the fact that Kitty said that has happened to several other people just makes you wonder, like, what's going on? I mean, maybe not enough to, like, make people feel like something, oh my gosh, right in your face, paranormal. Sure. But like,
because we hadn't
clearly
had,
makes
like,
you uncomfortable.
We hadn't had any like crazy things happen to us that night. Like,
you guys didn't feel any bad vibes the whole time we were there.
No. We were honestly kind of like feeling really comfortable. Like, this is grandma's house. We were just hanging out, like having a good time.
No bad vibes.
No bad vibes. It was very comfy. But maybe we just didn't pick up on those things like we would have it at a place that felt maybe a little bit darker.
And really, the trains drove it home.
Man, those trains.
Literally.
So what is my Sarah rating? What do my Sarahs say?
On a 10 scale or 5?
On a scale of 10, 10 being most haunted.
It's really hard to say because, like we just talked about, there wasn't anything in your face and I didn't get any like bad negative vibes.
Yeah.
But I do think that we have enough odd things to say that I do think there's at least some activity. For sure.
This is like one of the more interesting places that I think we've been to because it has like lingering type of paranormal stuff where not quite so in your face. So while we were there, I felt like maybe I would have said 5, 6, but when we listened back to our evidence, I'm
your sneeze
say like 7. This the sneeze really got me.
The sneeze is creepy.
It is creepy.
it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I agree that, yeah. And the three of us not being able to sleep, which yeah. seems very minor, but I am a little more sensitive to that.
Yeah.
After it happened to me with a negative experience, that I would go with a 6 or a 7.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe, you know, the more people that go investigate,
the more energy,
the more active it will be, like in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll go back and we'll check in 1 or 2 years and we'll see how things have changed, because mm-hmm. this is kind of a good experiment. It's totally. Like, this is brand new to the paranormal world.
Yeah.
Let's right. see what happens after, you know, a year or two of people coming in and out of that place.
And yeah. that was kind of cool to be one of the first people to investigate this place.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, they opened it, I think we said in April 2021, and we were there in November, so 6 months.
Yeah. yeah.
So that was pretty cool to be one of the first. I am disappointed there was no ghost train. I was really hoping when I ran outside at 4 in the morning that there was going to be nothing there, and I'd be well, like, what?
Here's the thing. You saw the second train. The first train still could have been a ghost train. That's,
okay.
3 in a row.
I'm thinking all three were trains, and it was just we'll a weird know. Night.
Well, trains are cool.
Trains
we'll
are cool.
Know. We'll never know. Katie, the owner, and her husband, they're amazing. You guys should reach out to them. We'll put their contacts on this episode as well as our mm-hmm. socials. So please reach out to them if you're interested in anything in investigating the house. And yep. then Lallman Paranormal, thank you so much for pointing this place out to us. We had a great time. And if you have any other places for us, please feel free to let us know.
Yeah. And on that note, if you guys have any places, like you said, to kind of let us know, you can also email us at thetipsyghost@gmail.com and go to thetipsyghost.com to find our socials from there.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. And it honestly really does help.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week to our haunted investigation of the Horridge House. You can always catch us next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.